We're taking our reading this evening from that chapter we read in John chapter 20. And we're going to take verse 11. John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Many cry, don't they? Many cry to lose a loved one. And it's quite a natural thing. The emotion just wells up in us. But Mary was alone. She was alone at that tomb. She stood alone at the sepulchre. Why was there no one else? She'd already spoken to the disciples, telling them what happened, and they came and investigated. Peter and John, running there, had come to see John, the faster of the two. They had seen, they had observed, and yes, the body was not there. They'd looked into the sepulchre. There was nothing there. And then they'd left. Was there anything to be gained by staying? Jesus' body was missing. They thought it would have been taken by someone unknown. Perhaps it was the guards. The guards had stood guard all that time. And they would have seen anybody else. Had they taken it? No one knew at that moment. Mary was devoted to her friend and her teacher. And here it was that his body was laid out in death. And here she would remain until an answer came. There are many people who visit the graves of their loved ones with questions. Mary was asking a question. Why? Why was it the body taken? Why was it missing? Who had had it? Why? Many ask that question. Why was this loved one taken from me? Why was I left alone and left behind? Why did they have to suffer so? Many refuse to accept the finality and the separation of death. We live a finite life, and eventually that life finishes. And it's something that we have to accept. Mary didn't have to face that finality. Unbeknown to herself, she was not facing the same question many people ask. She had seen Jesus die on that cross. She had seen him suffer in his death. She had seen him taken down and been buried at that tomb. She had accepted his death. She was coming to do all that was need to be done to a dead body. But his body was missing. And she was going to remain until his body was found. Until Christ was revealed. Are we so constant in our wait for Christ? When we first followed that path of faith that led us to Christ's presence and to our salvation, are we so constant in our wait for Christ? Do we still wait on him in expectation of his answers to our prayers? In expectation of the sound of his voice in our hearts? It's no wonder Mary wept over her loss. For the love of her master. He wasn't only a master, he was her teacher. Her guide. She needed his direction. She was his friend and he was her friend. She looked for him for strength, for support. And without him, she would flounder. And she wept for this loss. It's terrible when you lose the nearest one to you, the one that you depended upon, and they're suddenly gone. But she wept also because of the suffering he experienced. You know, many try to gloss over the torture that Jesus received. Oh yes, he died on the cross. But let's not talk about it. Let's not try to think about it. Don't tell us what pain he went through. For it is too unsettling. I know there's one lady in our congregation. She doesn't like Good Friday. She doesn't like to think of the pain. Because it makes her cry. She feels that pain. She knows Jesus has gone through that for her. I've spoken on the cross. I have preached on the cross. And afterwards I've been rebuked at times. Because people don't like to know about what Jesus went through. The nails through his hands and his feet. The scourging that he received. That went down to his very bones. It's no wonder Mary wept. Yet, we must realise that Jesus died for us. He went through that pain for us. He died for our sins. It's not Jesus' death that is so terrible. The terrible thing, it is our sins that are terrible. He died because of our sins. They caused the Son of God so much pain. And we can't avoid that truth. Our sins caused him pain upon the cross. And we must face that. You cannot seek Christ with joy in your hearts. Isn't that a strange thing to say? But you cannot initially seek Christ if there's joy in your heart. You must first come to him and you must come in sorrow. There must be a realization within you that you are a sinner. You must be sorry for it. You must repent of it. You must be sorry for the pain that you've caused him. You must be sorry for the separation from your Father. Not only yourself, but you've caused the separation of the Father and the Son. Your separation because of your burden of sin. Remember Christ's words on the cross. He quoted Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt that pain of separation. For once in eternity, he was separated from his Father. And he echoed those words from that psalm. But his last words were, it is finished, it is completed. But not many understood what he meant. Mary hadn't understood. The disciples hadn't understood. She was there looking for his body. And she was there alone. And she was crying. The disciples had looked in the tomb. They'd seen nothing. But in her sorrow, she decided to look after they'd left. She stooped down to seek Christ. And that is how sinners must come to Christ. In sorrow and on their knees. I was rereading the revival stories. They were in the journal the other month. The revivals from 1859. People wept in their masses. They were convicted of their sins and they wailed and they fell to their knees. The burden of their sin weighed them down. But also the knowledge of their utter wretchedness before God. How can you face God when you're a sinner? You can't, can you? You go on your knees. You lie prostrate before Him because you cannot turn your face to Him. And that's how we should come to our God. When we first realise that we are sinners. Today I see so-called revivals here and abroad. I hear about them. And there is much revelry. There's much excitement. There's lots of shouts of joy. And I reflect on the older revivals. And there's a difference. The one where people were acknowledging their sin. They were wailing about it. But now the so-called revivals of today. Shouts of joy instead of wails of sorrow. There is little regard to sin. In fact, the word that is preached almost admits sin. There was a march in Wolverhampton yesterday. We went on one a number of years ago. And the message was, come to God, come to Jesus, and He will fix everything for you. And I didn't hear one word about come to God. That your sins might be forgiven. That you might receive eternal life. Come to God because Jesus has died for you. All I heard was, God will fix everything for you. And so, those sort of churches fill up. Because they haven't faced their sin. They haven't faced the state of man. I hear prophecies of revival for this country. They keep coming up now and again. And everybody says, oh, there's going to be a revival. Everybody's going to be happy. But then I look at the country and I see how far it has sunk. That Christian heritage goes further and further away. Only the other day, a former Archbishop of Canterbury said to the government, Christians are feeling persecuted because of your policies. Would we have ever thought of hearing that? A top clergyman saying to the government, this is how Christians feel nowadays. In their own country, what used to be a Christian country, now they're feeling persecuted. We haven't seen that since before the Reformation. We should be hearing cries of, my God, why have you forsaken us? Look how low we've got. We're even now discussing how to rename marriage. Not between a man and a woman, between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. And that's only one of the things. God's laws are being ignored. And they're saying the revival is coming. Repentance is what we should call for. Sorrow. But sorrow must not block our searching for God. Must not block our searching for Christ. I've heard of a man who daily visits his wife's grave. She died many years ago. But he still visits her on a daily basis and spends hours sitting there talking to his wife. He has not accepted her death. His life has ground to a halt. It's as if he died when his wife did. It stopped him from moving on. Our Christ rose from the dead. And that is what we celebrate today. We cannot wallow in that self-pity and keep reflecting on our past woes. I think of it when people are convicted of sin. Yes, they're on their knees, they're wailing out in sorrow, but then God comes to them. And he has mercy on them. And they feel his forgiveness. You know, I think if they carried on in that state, they'd eventually die. But isn't that what sin does? It kills us. Christ rose so that our sins could be forgiven. Yes, there is sorrow. But on the realization of our forgiveness, that sorrow turns for joy. And takes that place of sorrow. And then we celebrate and praise God. You know, reading about the revivals, there was this little boy. And he'd been to the revivals. And his grandmother asked him, "Where have you been?" He says, "I've been to church." He says, "How did you feel?" "Well, at first I felt sad. But then I felt happy. Because God has forgiven my sins." At that, the grandmother said to the grandfather, "I think this boy has brought us a message. I think we need to act on it." But isn't that how we come to God? We come as a child. We come as we are. And we say, "God, we've done wrong. And we are sorrowful about it. We repent of it." And he turns that sorrow into joy. Mary was seeking Jesus. Peter and John, as I said, had looked into the grave and found it empty. She needed to look though. She needed to reaffirm that Christ was gone. And she stooped and she looked in. And she saw two angels. They appeared to her. Peter and John had looked in the grave and they had not seen them. She had been there all the time. She had not moved. So they had not walked past her. They had just appeared. And one was at the head and one was at the foot of where Jesus was laid. These two angels had watched over Jesus. Two guardians. Two witnesses to his resurrection. For two witnesses, what were required of the Jewish law courts. There were two witnesses at Christ's transfiguration. Let me read that, Luke 9, verse 30. "And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." That he should accomplish, that he should finish. And those are the words he said on the cross. "It is finished." There were two witnesses at his transfiguration. There are two witnesses at his rising from the dead. And there'll be two witnesses before he comes again in Revelation 11, chapter 3 and 4. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. There are two olive trees and two candlesticks standing for the God of earth." There were witnesses to Christ. And they were there for Mary. The two angels were God's messengers. And they were going to point the way. They ask her a question. Why weepest thou? Verse 13, woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they had laid him. They didn't have to answer that question. They knew why she was crying. But she was taken up with her grief. And they wanted her to understand the truth. Why are you crying, they were saying. And without words, you could see that Christ was risen. You should be rejoicing, for Christ is risen. There was a start of a reason that she had to go through to understand what had happened. And they had started the process by asking a question, why weepest thou? And when you come to a Christian who wants to accept Christ, a person who wants to accept Christ for the first time, and they're crying, you need to point out to them why they are crying. They feel that guilt, but they need to ask for forgiveness. They need to move on. They need to understand. They know why she's crying, but they're trying to make her think through her grief to a realization of the truth. You know, sometimes we are so bound up and wound up in our sorrow. It overtakes us. And we fail to see what God is doing. What God is obviously doing. We fail to see God's revelation in Christ and our blessing. And it can hit the most mature Christian. Grief and sorrow can hit us. And sometimes we just lose it and we don't understand. And then we need to take a step back. And we need to understand what Christ has done to us, done for us, and through us, and to us. Mary had to understand the reason for her seeking. They are trying to open up the truth to her. As many a preacher does when he preaches God's word. But how so often the words that he preaches seem to fall on deaf ears. Our church congregations seem to be small. And there's people out there that need to hear God's word. But it seems to fall on deaf ears. For these preachers are messengers of God. Just as these angels were. They are not alone, for we are all messengers of God. You know, these angels are dressed in garments of white. It alludes to their purity. But we too, as Christians, are given garments of purity, of righteousness. We've disposed of the rags of sin. God's done that for us. And he's reclothed us. We have been sanctified by the Spirit. And we too, like the angels, bring a message from God. We bring a message to our friends and to our family. Remember when Jesus first collected the disciples together? There was Andrew. And he brought his brother Peter to Jesus. It's right at the beginning of John. Chapter 1, verse 44. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. They weren't great preachers at the time. They were just common labourers and workers and normal men, as we are. And yet, they brought a message of God and brought their brothers to Christ. We have a message of salvation for all who want to hear. Mary replied to the angels. She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And as she's speaking to them, somebody comes behind her. And she realises somebody's there. Perhaps the angels acknowledged Jesus. Perhaps it was the shadow. Perhaps it was just his footsteps. We don't know. But Jesus appears. And he comes to her. She's seeking her. Seeking Jesus. And he comes to her. It is Jesus who comes to us. We may seek him. But he comes to us. Or we would never find him. We cry out to him. And he comes to us. But we do not always recognize him. She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. So devoted is she, that she will say, I will go and get the body and bring it back, and I will look after it. She doesn't recognise Jesus. She's known him for years. But we do not always recognise him. Again, the question is asked. This time Jesus is asking the question. Woman, why weepest thou? Again, it is questioning Mary to realise the truth. We seek God for so many things and wait upon him for an answer. Yet sometimes, not realising, he has answered us. But again, we are taken up with our own selves, with our own importance. We do not see where he is leading. Mary has been taught that Jesus will rise from the dead. She should know, and so should the disciples, where Jesus is. We know. We look back and say, Einstein, think, why didn't you realise it? Why didn't they realise it? But they were living in a world that didn't have that many miracles. It was beyond their limitations at that time. And sometimes I think we don't allow God to expand our limitations. I believe that if we understood more of God's word, then we wouldn't have to do so much seeking. For the answers are there. Mary only had to turn to her scriptures. Peter and John only had to turn to their scriptures. And they could have read where Jesus was. They could have read that Jesus would be raised on the third day. And they would have expected it. But they did not understand. For as yet, they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. We need to know our scripture more. And open up our eyes to God. Often we go to a wiser, more mature Christian to have the gospel explained. And that's a good thing. Because we seek mature Christians when we don't understand. But if only we knew more. If only we understood more. And then we wouldn't have to seek God so much. Finally, as Jesus speaks her name, she recognises her Saviour. And all is well. Just as we recognise Jesus as our Saviour, our sorrow is left behind. We are relieved of our burden of sin. and we enter into our new relationship. And that is when we celebrate. And that is what we celebrate this day. Our new life with Christ. Let us pray.